And welcome to the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Michael Henson, and joining me as ever is Chris Hansen as we review Raw from the 2nd of November. There was 8 matches and a few more segments, so let's get straight into it.
And we start off with, as ever, Randy Orton, our WWE champion, stood in the middle of the ring, talks about how he's beaten the best. He is the best of the best. In fact, scratch that, he's the best, period. He's better than Edge, better than Taker, better than Flair, better than Shawn, better than Cena, and most certainly better than Drew. He talks about how he welcomes this bullseye that's now on his back. At that moment, Alexa Bliss's music hits and out she comes, does the whole hands under the chin, sweet and innocent smile, gloves show play and pain on her hands. This is all really, really well done, as ever. She drops the play hand. And says he could be here. The lights flicker red, creepy music plays, we're ready for the Fiend to enter the scene. But of course, he turns around and it's a claymore from Drew McIntyre to the chin of Randy Orton. He grabs the title, stares at it, stares down at Randy, says he wants his rematch or he'll make Orton's life hell. This was already a good segment. Randy's promo was really, really good. But just as we're thinking, right, we're going to move on to the first part of the action, out runs Miz and Morrison with a ref in tow. Miz hands over the briefcase. They announce that this is going to be that Miz is cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase. As it's all about set to happen, Drew claymores Morrison, sends Miz to the outside. The bell never rang, so it wasn't an official thing. The briefcase has not been cashed in, but this was a good thing. I'm going to say this later on, I think, as well, but this instantly made the briefcase relevant again. We've not even seen like a tease of a cash-in for a long time. So having this moment of any time that Randy or whoever the champion is down, we could see the cash-in coming. This is a good thing for the briefcase in whole. After the break, Miz assures the world that his cash-in wasn't official as the bell never rang and then challenges Drew to a 2-on-1 handicap match later in the night. This whole segment worked really well for me. It kept Drew and Randy going. It kept the Fiend, that little element of the Fiend in there as well. And like I said, it makes the briefcase relevant once again. I really enjoyed it. Crush, what did you think?
Yeah, I think it was really good. Like the fact that there's now 3 potential title challenges for Randy Orton is so good because we know he's going to face Roman Reigns. He's not going to beat Roman Reigns clean because Roman is too high up. So there'll be some sort of interference there. Potentially tease of cash in from The Miz, as we saw last night too, but the fact that the Fiend's going for it, Drew's going for it, and the Miz is going for it, plus making that, I should say, briefcase relevant again, was very good. And within the opening segment of the show, we then got our first match, which was a guitar on a pole match, Jeff Hardy versus Elias, and Jeff makes an early dart for the guitar, but Elias, as Chris always likes to say, yeeted a stool at him. Elias beats Jeff down for a while. Jeff came back with his vintage inverted atomic drop into a leg drop and then a drop kick. Elias gets Jeff on his shoulders, but Jeff hits a hurricanrana. He gets a twist of fate. He grabs the guitar and smashes Elias with it and gets the 1-2-3 for the win. I believe it was Byron Saxon on commentary who said something like, "I hope that's time over," something like that. It sounded like a shoot, but it wasn't meant to be a shoot. He said something on the lines of, he hopes that is over or something, whatever that may be. But it seems to signify the end of that rivalry for me anyway, Chris.
Yeah, it was all a bit weird. I felt like they were going to do more with this, with them both losing their qualifying matches last week. I would have thought that Elias would have won the rivalry, seeing he's just come back off injury. So it's a kind of a weird way to go for me. Maybe they'll move with something else, or maybe they'll just move the two on. The match was fine. I'm not a huge fan of on a pole matches because they're very hard to tell a decent story on. The story is always going to be they're both clamoring for the thing and that's about all you can do with it. But it was fine. It's nice to see a weapons match to start the show. It's a good way to kind of get some fast action going. Next up, we had a title match. We had the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax defending against Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. Lana was out to watch. Why she would do that, I have no idea. This is never going to be a good spot for her. She wants to stay as far away from Nia Jax and the announce table as possible, but she was out there. We got a really good early spot early on, actually, where Mandy, and they were saying on commentary about how she's kind of matured as a wrestler, as a performer in the last few years. And this was a really, really nice spot where she hits a head scissors onto Nia Jax and then turns it into an octopus stretch, a standing octopus stretch. This was very cool. We get Nia trying to then press Mandy, but Dana clips the leg. Knee strike from Mandy. Dana flips with a splash and covers for one, two. Shayna Baszler breaks up. For what we knew wasn't the finish because it was 2 minutes into the match, this was a really, really well done spot. I think this was the best I've seen Mandy and Dana working together. That every week they look more and more like a tag team rather than two of them thrust together. I'm really enjoying their stuff at the moment. They hit a double suplex onto Shayna for two. The finish actually was really, really well done. So Shayna Baszler has the Kirifuda clutch on Dana. Dana rolls back to pin Shayna, but Lana at the same time distracts the ref. And the commentary count, one, two, three. So Dana would have pinned Shayna. By the time the ref's turned round, Shayna then gets the Kirifuda clutch back on, and Dana has the quick tap. The faces in this, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, looked incredibly strong. They looked at least equal to the heels. They looked like credible contenders. It'll be very interesting to see what they do post-Survivor Series. Obviously, all four women are in the Survivor Series match. We will assume that everything will break down and that will lead into the feud going on next. We'll have to wait and see. But certainly, I'm getting very, very quickly in on the Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke team. I think they're a good tag team and I really enjoyed it. Crush, what do you think?
Yeah, them two, I think, will definitely be future tag team champions. Obviously, we saw Mandy and Sonya Deville split up and then we had this tag team put together, but both have very similar backgrounds, the athletic model, internal wrestlers. Both have turned into good workers, as you say. Mandy's really improved from that opening segment. And Dana seems to, from when she was back into when she started to what she is now, has come on a lot. And obviously she worked with Charlotte in that time as well. So yeah, looking forward to see where that storyline goes. Next up, we have Bobby Lashley versus R-Truth. And again, R-Truth, former podcast guest, is just one of the greatest. He comes out, says it's a mistake. He came out to meet his favourite water boy, our favourite water boy, Bobby Boucher. He even brought a water bottle to be signed by him. He tries to talk Bobby Lashley out of the match. He lies down for a pin. Lashley says, nah, I want the full Nelson. But Truth's like, nah, just no need, just pin me. He goes to lift Truth, but he's kicked. Truth hits the ropes, goes for another kick, but Lashley dodges out of the way and hits the spear. He locks the full Nelson in, and Truth is out, so Lashley wins the match. After the match, he locks in another full Nelson and says it's a message to Sami Zayn ahead of their match on Survivor Series. Drew Gulak comes out and covers Truth. Lashley prevents the pin and applies the full Nelson to Gulak. He's out, and Lashley sort of like drops him on Truth, and the ref's like, okay, that's a pin cover. One, two, three. And Drew Gulak is the new 24/7 championship. Lashley goes up to the ramp. I think he comes back and just stares him down. Then his music hits and end segment. So it was a slightly weird end to the segment, but nevertheless.
It was 100% a, we still have 30 seconds before we can get to adverts. Do something. And he was like, right, okay, I'll walk back down again and you can play my music and that'll do for 30 seconds.
But anyway, Truth, unfortunately, has lost 24/7 championship. Backstage, Grand Metalik and Lindsay Dorado are talking about 24/7 title and how they're about to go after Gulak before they run into AJ Styles' bodyguard, Jordan. They just like wave at him and go the other way. And AJ says to Jordan, are you ready for this? Another backstage segment, and Nia Jax is asked about Lana. She's talking about, like, don't speak of her name in my presence or something like that. And by the end of the night, Lana will not be on Team Raw or... No, Nia wants to end Lana's career.
Which then leads us into, as Big E would say, some big, meaty men bumping meat. We start with AJ Styles in the ring, cutting a promo. He points himself captain of Team Raw and goes to introduce his team. First out is Sheamus and then Keith Lee. Sheamus and Lee dispute AJ being captain. AJ insists they call him Captain AJ, which I really enjoyed. Out comes Braun. He says he's the best of the best in Survivor Series. He talks about how he's eliminated the most people in a single match, etc., etc. He wants to be in the team. Eventually, AJ Styles has a brainwave, which is we have a triple threat match of Braun versus Sheamus versus Lee. If Braun wins, he's in. Throughout the match, we have AJ Styles on commentary, and I'm going to put this out there now. AJ Styles was fantastic on commentary. This match was a meme machine for AJ Styles' reactions. It was really, really good. It was 15 minutes of big, meaty men slapping meat. Some of the biggest spots in it, we get the barrier getting absolutely wrecked when Braun Strowman piles Sheamus and Keith Lee through it. We also, towards the finish, get a Tower of Doom with Braun Strowman superplexing Sheamus whilst Keith Lee hits an electric chair drop onto Braun. It was really, really well done. This was just big, hard-hitting action. I really enjoyed it. The Keith Lee and Braun Strowman had real, real chemistry in the ring. Obviously, we had that match 2 weeks ago, which was a bit of a disappointment. But again, if we're building feuds, it's one of those kind of things where you have to accept that we're moving somewhere. I think it was probably about 6 weeks ago now where we had their just fight all over the arena where they put each other through like the barriers and the signs and stuff like that. I'm very excited for this Keith Lee Braun Strowman feud. I'm glad they're taking the time with it. I want to see it explode. I want to see it be a main event. It doesn't need to be Royal Rumble main event or anything like that. Give it one of the B pay-per-views, but let it be a main event and let it be its own thing, because I think these two have got it. I think it works really well. The finish was Sheamus hit the bro kick onto Lee. Braun Strowman then hit the power slam onto Sheamus. After the match, AJ petitions for them all just to get along. And it looks as if we're going to have a nice bit of discord. Everyone looks happy. Everyone's in for Team Raw. We're all going to do the ting. Sheamus hugs Braun and then turns around and bro kicks Braun straight out the ring. So Keith Lee does the only thing that he could do and pounces Sheamus out the ring. And then AJ Styles drop kicks Keith Lee out the ring, which looked a little bit like a fly drop kicking an elephant. And the elephant slowly tumbled out the ring. It was very enjoyable. And we get AJ left on his knees, screaming as to why they all can't get along. This was really, really good. I really enjoyed this. Crush, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
Yeah, AJ Styles as a meme has full potential. Like, there's so many screenshots and so many reactions, GIFs, just from this segment. It was great. And yeah, I'm not too sure why they... If you're already on a team with three people, why would you then have two of the people beat each other up to then get another member in? I thought they would have put him up against like Tucker or someone like that. So it's a nice guaranteed win. Anyway, it is what it is. And Braun is now on the Survivor Series team. Firefly Funhouse was next. And it was dedicated to the three most important letters in sports entertainment. Not WWE, but RKO. And Bray was talking about how what had happened in the past between him and Orton, but it's in the past and we can move on. But then Sister Abigail says, after what he did to us, Randy Orton can go fuck himself. And obviously that part is bleeped out. And then Abby has to put 10 cents in the swear jar. So she says to Alexa Bliss, you can go fuck yourself too. Very, very nice. I thought it was very funny. Bray talks about Orton being a bad man at one time. Then he gets these flashbacks to Orton burning the house down. And he just says he never forgets. Then Alexa Bliss wants to show everyone a new trick she's been practicing. You get Bray using the heel glove from the Fiend onto Alexa's head. And then she sort of reveals either blood or like a devil tongue. And the segment ends with Bray going, oh shit. Very nice segment. The storyline between them is fantastic. And I can't wait to see where this goes. And then Chris, up next we have Nia Jax versus Lana.
Yeah, squishy, squishy, squash, squash. Nia Jax starts the match by yeeting Lana around for a bit. Lana hits a flurry of offense where she looks like she's starting to get back into it, but it's kind of just the classic. This is the dusk before the night. It's the sun going down. She hits a couple of big kicks to the head of Nia Jax, charges in, but gets dropped. One, two, Nia Jax pulls Lana off the mat, kicks stuffing out of her some more, hits a body slam. One, two, pulls Lana off the mat, tells her she should quit. Lana says no, so up we go for the Samoan drop. One, two, three, match done. After the match, Nia, of course, puts Lana through the announce table for the seventh time with another Samoan drop. No news on whether this means that Lana is out of Team Raw or if she's now retired from being a wrestler. However, that was the segment. There wasn't much to it. We've kind of seen it for the last 6 weeks. You get the gist. And then after that, we have what I was most excited for going into the show, and that is the burgeoning feud between New Day and the Hurt Business. It starts with the MVP Lounge. MVP says how Hurt Business want paying in gold for dealing with Retribution, and that gold is the tag team titles. Out come the New Day. New Day quickly make fun of how old Lashley is, saying that Woods got in trouble for staying up late to watch Lashley's matches when he was in the sixth grade. New Day lists all of Kofi's accomplishments, including being WWE champion. MVP asks, quite rightly, how that reign ended, losing to Brock in 8 seconds, and how Lashley will beat him even quicker. Kofi quickly rebuttals with how he's heard from Lana that perhaps 8 seconds is all that Lashley's got anyway. This was a good little bit. They go back and forth some more after that, but for me, they should really have ended it with that last line about the 8 seconds. It was the best zinger out of all of them. We lead into a non-title match. MVP on commentary, it's New Day versus Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin of the Hurt Business. We get a cool opening spot where Cedric sends Kofi into the corner, monkey flips him, Kofi lands on his knees and twerks, Kofi then sends Cedric into the corner. Monkey flips him, and Cedric lands square on his face. We get two hot tags in this match. The first one was Xavier Woods came in, and it ended with his cool drop kick that he does through the ropes, where he skims off Cedric's back and drop kicks Shelton on the outside. Heels get on top once again. We get a hot tag to Kofi, who finishes his with the boom drop. The finish was excellent. We get the classic exchange of big moves. Woods hits a couple of really good DDTs. Cedric breaks up the pin. Kofi sends Cedric to the outside, goes for a dive, but gets cut off by Shelton. Woods then rolls Shelton up for a two count. Cedric drops Woods onto the top rope. Cedric hits a springboard kick and into pay dirt from Shelton, and Hurt Business beat the tag team champions, the New Day, clean in the middle of the ring. This was the right booking for me. I'm happy with this. I like that there is a legitimate feud here where we could see either one of these take the titles into Survivor Series. It's been spoken about a lot how there's currently no heel versus face singles match going to Survivor Series. So I'd be quite happy if Hurt Business end up taking on Street Profits. I think that would be a nice match. I'd equally be very happy to see New Day take on Street Profits. I think this is a win-win for everyone. I enjoyed this. I thought this was really good.
Yeah, to have a credible Raw tag team going after New Day is very good, and definitely one for the future, if not for Survivor Series. Up next, we have what is essentially a squash match again. Ricochet versus the New Look Tucker, who is wearing long pants with Knight on the back, showing his previous alias in WWE. Mustafa Ali is watching on from ringside, standing on the announce table. And it's a quick match, just two kicks into a recoil to win the match very quickly for Ricochet. Mustafa Ali gets up on the apron as Retribution appear. T-Bar comes into the ring and chucks Ricochet out. Retribution then beat down Tucker. Flapjack gets Ricochet back into the ring and they circle him. Ali says that Ricochet will pay for what he's done. He tries to fight back, but he can't, and the numbers get the advantage of him. They hold Ricochet up, and Ali says that no sin is forgiven until it's punished, and the double choke slam to Ricochet to finish that segment. And then we get into the main event, which was Miz and Morrison versus Drew. It's obviously set up from earlier night, and this is essentially two different matches. Before the break, it was Drew being strong, and every time Miz or Morrison got momentum, Drew would stop it and hit a big move. The biggest moment pre-break was Drew hitting a reverse Alabama slam on Morrison onto the Miz on the outside. But after the break, the heels take control. They throw Drew into the barricade, and then we get a comeback going from Morrison for Starship Pain. Drew pushes him onto the ring post, climbs up to top, and there's more back and forth from Morrison. Morrison elbows Drew into the Tree of Woe, sets up for something, but Drew sits up and Germans Morrison off the top rope. There's a tag to Miz, who eats clotheslines and belly to bellies. There's a blind tag later on as Drew sends Morrison off the apron, gets caught by the skull crushing finale. One, two, no, kick out. We get some it kicks at Drew, but Drew recovers and manages to hit a future shock DDT to Miz. Miz rolls out and Drew hits a huge topic on Hero to both men. Miz gets back in the ring. Drew hits a claymore. Good night. One, two, three. After the bell, Randy Orton hits RK out of nowhere. He's left standing alone, standing strong, and then you hear, "Let me in." Finish. A very interesting end to the show, for sure. But let's move into our top three moments. My third top moment is Miz attempted cash-in, because we haven't seen one for so long and it plays into that storyline really well. The second one being AJ Styles now being a meme for reaction gifs to images from that match and before that match. He was great in commentary too, but yeah, AJ Styles meme. And my top moment, just Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is fantastic, the way she has been throughout this whole segment with The Fiend.
Yeah, I agree. Mine are actually exactly the same. I think the having the failed cash-in, or the failed attempted cash-in, I should say. Like I said, it just gets the Money in the Bank contract straight back into mind where it should be. I think AJ Styles was brilliant in a non-wrestling role. We know how good he is in the ring, but he's really come into his own very recently about how he's elevating everything, making everything better. And then lastly, Alexa Bliss, especially the weird tongue thing at the end of the Firefly Funhouse was really cool. She has come into her own recently. My one match to watch is the big meaty men bumping meat. Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman. If you enjoy big man stuff, you're really going to enjoy this. It's really, really good. Just check it out. Crush, what would you say is yours?
My one match to watch is the Hurt Business versus New Day, just because I like where that's going. And as Chris said, if we get New Day versus Street Profits or Hurt Business versus Street Profits, it's going to be good at Spirits either way. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks for listening. Make sure to leave us a review on the podcast if you've enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at GoHomeShowPod and check us out on YouTube, Spoiled Wrestling, for all our interviews. Make sure to check out the main podcast from last week as Ilya Dragunov stops by for a chat about NXT UK, his history in wrestling and much more. We also discuss the most ridiculous storyline ever, take a closer look at WWE Untold, The Phenom and Legend Killer and much more. Thanks for listening in. Let's go home.